Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And we do start now. Just wondering if anybody's tuning in an hour late, if you're tuning in on Sunday. Why? Because daylight saving time, by the way, just for those of you who are attentive to detail as I tend to be, and there's some less attractive words describing that. It's not actually daylight savings time, it's daylight saving time. And that has kicked off, or will kick off, if you're listening on Friday or Saturday this weekend. As well as, first Sunday of Lent is always drawing me back into my RCIA days when the rite of election traditionally occurs, not only in our own archdiocese, but also around the country. This is when the rite of election, just for those of you who are unfamiliar with the RCIA process, is the time when those who are presenting themselves, those adults who are presenting themselves for baptism in the church and intend to be baptized at the Easter Vigil, that they are proclaimed to be elect by the local ordinary, in our case by Archbishop Hebda or by Bishop Cousins, as we have usually multiple rites of election going on the same day since we have multiple bishops who can do that. And it's an important time in the journey of these, as well as our candidates, who are those who are baptized in another Christian tradition, baptized validly in another Christian tradition, but are still going to have their first communion and their confirmation at the Easter Vigil, as my wife and I did. It's coming up on 9 years ago, which has been a fantastic journey. Why do I mention this? I guess just to recognize that there is, during this season of Lent, a process of spiritual transformation going on in these people. And in my understanding, anyway, the whole idea of the entirety of the church celebrating the holy season of Lent came about because of this, because that people initially who were preparing for baptism did so over this 40-day span between Ash Wednesday and Easter, and it was a time when people came to support them and to recognize this preparation that they were making for baptism. They were depriving themselves, i.e. fasting, from certain things to get ready for baptism. They were being generous in their alms. They were praying. And these three staple practices of Lent were all about preparing to be received into, being incorporated into Christ, being received into His church through the holy sacrament of baptism that was to occur on Easter, which, again, what an appropriate time to be baptized at the Easter Vigil. And so we as a church picked up on that and said, well, hey, this would be good not just for those who are preparing for baptism to do, but for all of us to do. So I guess I want to encourage all of you to pray for those who are particularly preparing for baptism as adults this year throughout the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, and there are many. Pray for them as they now take this important step from being what we call a catechumen into being the elect. And as they are moving ever closer to baptism, they are now, come the rite of election, they are proclaimed to be elect, they become elect, and they enter into the remainder of this Lenten journey as such. Now, here's something that I observed just as my few years as an RCIA director, is that this is a very tumultuous time in the life of those who are preparing to enter the church, both candidates and catechumens. Lent, the enemy does not like it when people decide to enter into the fullness of the faith in the Catholic Church. And he lobs all sorts of attacks against these people. I've seen it time and time again, my few years serving as a faith formation director, as an RCIA director. And so please keep them in your prayers. Find out who they are in your local parish if you have a way of doing so, and say and uphold them in prayer. Pray for them fervently. Dedicate holy hours to them. Give yourself over. Dedicate masses, your own personal intentions at masses. Dedicate those to them. Uphold them throughout this holy season, because it can be a tumultuous time. So in your prayer, your fasting, your almsgiving, lift up these folks as well as they're preparing to enter the church. So that's my little encouragement for today. We've got a great show coming up for us here on the Rediscover Hour. First of all, we're going to be joined by Tom Halden and Nicole Momura, who are going to talk about this new website we have for the Archdiocese. We're going to delve into that, into the depths of the new website for the Archdiocese. After that, Michelle Steele and Angela Belgeski are going to talk to us about the importance of chastity and what it truly means to be chaste. And then joining us along near the end of the show, Brandon Wanless from the Church of St. Agnes is going to talk about their Lenten lecture series, which has just kicked off. So lots of great things going on in the Rediscover Hour today. Let's pause here at the top of the show, as we always do, committing it to our Lord through the intercession of our blessed mothers. Together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are into our first break. When we come back, Tom Halden, Nicole Momura, and a new website for the Archdiocese. Stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Back on the Rediscover Hour here on this first Friday of Lent, or Saturday if you're listening on Saturday, or Sunday if you're listening on Sunday. Joining me now in studio, Tom Halden, who is the Director of Communications for the Archdiocese and spent 20 years in secular media before that. The last 12, you may recognize him, with Fox 9 in Minneapolis. And Nicole Moore, who is the Communications Manager at the Archdiocese, and as such, she is responsible for Archdiocesan web properties. Before that, she worked in communications for Holy Name of Jesus in Medina, and for 4 years at a PR and ad agency before that. Welcome, you two. Good to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Great to be here, Patrick.
Thank you. Well, we've talked about this for a while, having you on representing the communications department, and now it's good to have it finally coming about. All right, so we've got a new website going on here in the Archdiocese. What was the inspiration behind needing a new website? Why do we need a new website?
The old one was really old.
Like 2012 design, painfully old. And, you know, and in all fairness, there, you know, the technology, there were other things that we've been focusing on lately, but it just was really needed that we finally had to take a look at it, both from the security of this website, where we do get, you know, tens of thousands of visitors a month. And I think we just needed to, as we looked at it, just say, what is a good sustainable way we can move forward? And then I think also just take a look underneath the hood of the site, so to speak, and how are people are using it? How can we improve this?
And I think that was a big part of it, too, because, you know, 7 years doesn't sound like a long time. But about what's changed, and not just the situation, but how technology has changed and how people use websites. So more and more people go to mobile. Nicole, what's the number? It's over
50%, yeah, for sure.
Are going to go through the phone. So, you know, the old site, just it wasn't configured how most people are using it now. And just that, it just really makes you take a look at what do we need to do.
Right. And I'm finding, at least in some of my interaction with and I'm not throwing anybody in this archdiocese under the bus. This is from people outside of this archdiocese. But there's still a lot of convincing that needs to go on, that your website needs to have at least the pertinent information, if not look good, too, because in many ways it is the front door to the organization that you are looking into, whether it's our parishes or our archdiocese. So I'm guessing a lot of that thinking was going on as you were designing this as well. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we also have that idea where if you're so used to thinking, you know, just almost in our church world, you think, oh, everybody knows what this office does or that office does. Well, they don't.
No,
you know,
they don't.
They're coming,
right.
And if they want to get married, then, you know, there are different parts to that marriage process in preparation, or whether you're a priest looking for, you know, just some documents that might be helpful for you. So we really looked at how we could organize that coming from the perspective of someone who's out in our lay Catholics that would maybe not know the way the church works and would want to easily find what they're looking for.
Yeah, and there are lots of tools. So, you know, you have to look at your audiences. Who are your audiences? Is it someone who is in the church looking for some information on the archdiocese? Is it somebody coming into town looking for your mass times and mass locations?
Yep.
Is it folks who are working at parishes or other Catholic entities? Well, really, it's the person who's visiting us, somebody who's not on the inside, because we have other avenues to connect with people who work in parishes, who work with those entities, ways in which we communicate with them. So who's our audience? How are they going to use us? And that went from really a change from having a page that was just really busy with buttons. Like almost every department had a button, and people were jockeying for a position, and, you know, whose tab goes on the top, and where does it, you know, and just trying to organize that. And then, of course, that didn't translate to mobile well at all.
Right.
So that was a great impetus. But really, how are people using it? And Nicole did a ton of research, and she's just brilliant at this, and just the collaboration and consultation, and found that, you know, our visitors are people who are coming from the outside, and they're going to be looking at us and looking for things from us by topic area.
Yeah.
You know, they may not know, as Nicole alluded to, that they need to contact the Office of Marriage and Family Life,
mm-hmm.
or Evangelization, or Communications, or Latino Ministries, those kinds of things. They have specific questions. We try to answer those and get to those with fewer clicks and with fewer people having to do searches. Let them find the information right there on the front.
So, Nicole, let me ask you, how did you bring that about? How did you implement what Tom was just telling us about?
Sure. Well, we actually do something that we do for working with the parishes and schools that I thought could translate really well. We give them two resources. We tell them, here's a list of offices and information, and here's a who to contact list, saying if you have these different topics, this is who you need to reach. That went over really well with people in the field, and so I just thought, well, maybe that's what we should do for the website. So we just started to try to categorize them in different areas. Because I think that's the other thing, too, is on they talk about on a homepage, short-term memory really only holds 7 items.
Yeah.
And if you think of most homepages, there could be 20 or more entry points into the website.
I'm thinking of some right now, yes.
Right. So how do you manage that? So we just try to categorize them. First of them would be under your faith, your life. And that's really, those are your things, like it might have to do with marriage or a difficult annulment situation, as well as your kids' education and sacraments. And then really, you know, growing in faith, growing in discipleship. You know, those are all things about your personal journey. That's one category. How we serve is really about, you know, how we're serving people out in the parishes. And
okay.
So that's our parish and clergy services, our chancellor's office, and our great Catholic parishes. When you're talking about best practices, that's where you really find that sort of information. And then finally, clergy and vocations, you know, for a priest, and then also those who might be discerning. And so we did that both on the homepage of the site, while still maintaining our popular parish and school listing, still a listing of all the offices for those who are used to that.
Right.
And then a mega menu structure, which is just basically a more complicated segmented menu, but they do it in a way that it just looks nice. It makes sense.
Mm.
You can just see those categories and those topics. And we can get a feeling it's actually been working. We've only been launched since mid-February, but I can see in kind of the back-end analytics to see where people visit that our marriage prep site, you know, it gets a lot of traffic, and you just see that. You used to see, like, the marriage and family office section,
sure.
and then this page, and then that page, and you knew people had to click through all those to go see it.
Right.
And now we can see people are finding right where they need to go. So hopefully that's a good sign that, you know, the layout is working and people are appreciating it.
Yeah, well, I hope so, especially since Rediscover Hour is right at the top banner. Right. Well, speaking of that, we're produced by the Office of Evangelization, and we used to direct everybody to rediscover-faith.org. It was kind of our own separate website that was related to, but not really under the in my layman's terms, under the umbrella of the archdiocese, archspm.org, even though it eventually got there. Anyway, but that's been kind of reincorporated back under the ArchSPM. Can you talk a little bit about why that is?
Absolutely. Well, we talk about what's changed since 2012. One of the things is really a little bit of that mindset of, do you just keep building separate websites for separate purposes?
Right.
Or do you try to bring it together? And for multiple reasons, I think, you know, you could talk about, you know, letting people know that this is all under the Archdiocese, so there's a consistency in look. You could talk about the fact if you're trying to upkeep multiple websites, that really takes a lot more of our, you know, of our parishioners, you know, dollars that they put in towards supporting our local church for something that's maybe not necessary. So we're really trying to be discerning about, when we're building these resources, how are we doing it successfully? And then how are we being really good stewards? So we looked at that, decided that it made sense to put it under the Archdiocese. And then at the same time, we could have, you know, the Rediscover site, we could have updated content for that as well as our Archdiocese all together. And at the same time, when we talked about, you know, how people are using the site, what they're looking for, it gave us that opportunity to come up with these buckets that better defined what the Office of Evangelization does as well. Mm-hmm. So we have faith and discipleship, which is, you know, squarely the Rediscover Hour here, ways that people are growing in their own discipleship journey, whether that's through Bible studies, the radio show, Called and Gifted, finding their own gifts. You know, those sorts of things can all go under that area. And then another really big area is faith communities. As you know, just who do you walk with on your journey? You know, you have men, women, young adults, grandparents. Yeah. So we really wanted to, you know, speak to those audiences as well and just group them together in an appropriate way. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how we start working on translating that content over. And we do actually still have one page where, if our folks are still visiting the old rediscover-faith.org, they'll be directed to a homepage that will have the Office of Evangelization content. But I just think it'll be very beneficial for our new visitors to just, you know, more directly find what they're looking for.
Yeah. And I got to say, bravo for thinking about the visitor, too. I mean, we've all been in other places where we're not familiar with the local Catholic community, but we want to find out. Usually, for me, it's just, you know, when's Mass, that sort of thing. And there's nothing more frustrating than going to a website for a parish and then seeing, or even for a diocese, and seeing that, well, this is when Mass is listed. You show up, oh, Mass just finished. Or, you know, I want to go to confession. Okay, I'll show up, nobody there, you know, that sort of thing. So bravo for thinking about the visitor as well.
Well, thanks, Patrick. And the first button, so we have these five small buttons right at the top of the screen as well, whether you're on mobile or desktop, it's parishes/schools. That's where you find the parishes. That's where you find the Mass times. That's where you find the map.
Yep.
So you can get that first information, that first bit of information that you need. And it really is that welcome to our archdiocese of, you know, because our goal really, obviously, is to connect people to a parish.
Mm-hmm.
No one comes to the Catholic Center in St. Paul for Mass on Sunday, right?
Right.
No one goes there for confession. There's not spiritual direction there, so we're not a hub for that. It's our job to support the parishes and to get people to their local parish to connect in that way and then really grow their faith, and that's really our mission.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you're exercising it well. So, Nicole, just also thinking about the overall appearance of the website. I mean, you are, in a certain sense, I don't know if I'm using the right lingo here, but you are talking in a sense about branding as well. So there's a lot of, you know, how do you look at it? How does it strike you when you go to it? Things that you're happy about with the new website?
Sure. Well, you know, part of it, again, with the way that sites are being built now, it's a lot cleaner. There used to be this concept of you had to have this background image because here's what you're dealing with. You have this screen for some person on a desktop that's maybe 2 feet across,
right.
And then you have someone on, you know, their mobile iPhone that's just inches. So
yeah.
You need something that translates really well. So we focus on really these beautiful broad images with, I guess, the center of activity kind of attention in the middle. So you can see, you know, the faces of the child or the couple, you know, and it works really well on your phone as well as just in a broad scope. So we really appreciated that. And one thing that we thought was kind of neat too, as we were looking at those buckets, you'll see there's kind of the shading that we use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to highlight the words so people know your faith, your life, how we serve, clergy and vocations. You know, we want that to be highlighted, but we wanted some color scheme to it. So if you notice, it goes yellow, dark blue, light blue.
Okay.
And that's, if you look at our logo, that's the series of colors. It's yellow, dark blue, light blue as you go down. So it was just kind of meant to take people on a little bit of a journey as they go through our page and, you know, just kind of have some of those nuances in it visually without being overpowering.
Yeah.
See, aren't we blessed to have Nicole? Somebody who thinks with both sides of their brain, the complete analytical, but also the creative, the spiritual. I mean, how to bring people in all ways, no matter where they're coming from or how they're coming from, or how they're coming to us. So Nicole is an absolute gift to this local church, the Archdiocese. And we couldn't have done this without her. It's been 2 years our process has been. Yeah. And we've met with all the offices of the Archdiocese and some other outside groups too on consultation and collaboration because, it's our job to serve. And we want to serve folks the best way that we can and then help them outreach. And that's Nicole's process from start to end. I'm surprised she didn't quit because it's a long process. It can be challenging. But the offices also were great. People were flexible. Mm-hmm. They listened. They talked with their staffs. And they really got to drill down. And I think it's an opportunity. But they really got to drill down into what are we really trying to do with our office? What are our main messages? What do we want people to see when they get to us right away? Because if they don't give us that first look, they can't take a second and third look.
Okay, so I'm going to be a little provocational here and just say, okay, so people are going to go, and I think we've mentioned it, but archspm.org, that's just the standard, so it's still the same domain name.
Yep,
so, say they go and they want to give some feedback on that. Is there a way for them to give feedback on the new website?
Oh, absolutely. One of our very top buttons is actually contact us.
Oh yeah, nice.
Because we knew again that's what people are looking for. So we have a contact form there. People can always email just communications@archspm.org. But that's where that button will take you. We also have our phone number. So of course, happy for any feedback and suggestions that people might have. So that that's the thing that's nice. This was such a big move because not only were we changing the layout, but putting the whole thing on a healthier platform technology-wise that we can update moving forward. Yeah. So that doesn't mean we can't make changes to the designs if we find that something works better for folks. It's just that it really puts us in a more secure place technology-wise and gives us lots of room to grow.
So it sounds to me like, I mean, if I can put it almost in physical terms. So you're maintaining the same address, but you've torn down the old house and you've put up a new one.
Yeah, it's a redesign. Like we had Becker Building come in and change things for
Right.
us. we did a design build, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Why not? Yeah, that's very good. Well, Tom Halden, the Comer, it's been great to have you on the Rediscover Hour. I look forward to seeing more and more traffic to the new website, archspm.org. But thank you both for all of your work for the Lord and for His church and for the Department of Communications.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. So, archspm.org. Yeah, folks, I want to encourage you, dig in, see what's there, take a look at it. And I'm sure that they would be interested in both your positive feedback as well as maybe some of the suggestions that you might have for the new Archdiocesan website, archspm.org. All right, so turning the page on that, we are now joined in studio by Michelle Steele, who has been speaking on chastity, pro-life, and theology of the body to adults and teens for 19 years, and she did teach religious ed for 14 years at her parish at St. Michael Church in St. Michael, and Angela Belgeski, who was baptized Catholic but found her faith in her mid-30s. She was confirmed in 2002 after going through RCIA. She spoke with Silent No More Minnesota, around Minnesota, and at the Minnesota State Capitol. And she is also, I think it's worth mentioning, a Third Order Definitively Professed Member of Our Lady of the Most Sacred Heart Community, Second Order of Disc House Carmelites, which is the same community that our very own Paul Sadek, our technical producer, is part of. So welcome, ladies. Good to have you on the Rediscover Hour.
Hello.
Yeah,
thanks.
Good to have you with us. All right, so I just, you know what, let's just start off. One of the reasons that we're having you on, one, and we want to expound a little bit more, is particularly about an upcoming retreat that's coming our way here on March the 30th. Tell us a little bit about, just lay it out for us, what's that going to be all about?
So that will be at my parish at St. Michael Catholic Church in St. Michael. And it's a two-hour retreat for teen girls, and mentors, grandparents, parents, teachers are encouraged to come.
Okay.
We're keeping it short and sweet.
All right.
It'll be very educational. So the first talk that I'll be giving will be pro-life. So statistics, facts on abortion, how to handle the situation, if they know of anybody who is post-abortive. And then Angela will share her testimony, which she'll talk about in a minute here. And then after that, I'll have my chastity talk to the girls for about 35 minutes, and then my husband Dave will speak to the girls for about 10 minutes on what it's like to be a man, the difference between men and women when it comes to chastity. And then after that, we'll have free materials for the girls provided by Jason Everett's material. So
yeah wonderful. So I'm already looking forward to the remainder of this interview, but I almost want to attend, although I'm not a teenage girl, as people can obviously tell. All right, so it's going to start on the pro-life end of things. Mm-hmm. All right, so you mentioned the situation. Angela, we'll get to you in just a moment, but you mentioned you're going to give an overview of the situation. What would you say the situation pro-life-wise is right now?
Okay, so I'll be talking to them about statistics and facts.
Okay.
Horrifying. 43% of women are post-aborted by the age of 40. Mm. Almost one out of two women, around 4,000 babies a day. Wow. So just statistics, just to remind people, and that's just in the United States alone. And then also the development of the baby. I watched the March for Life in D.C., and it was just a good reminder for me of the women and men that gave their testimony that were post-abortive that didn't know, didn't realize how developed their baby was. So we have good visuals up front. I'll have on a table of babies in utero. And also free brochures for them that I pass out that they're given of babies in utero, what they look like, the development at 7 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, and most abortions are performed. So that end will be very good. And when I first got involved, I thought this would be a great way to end abortion. And then I realized it also helped men and women who've had abortions heal.
Yeah.
So I talk about groups, organizations that will help men and women heal. A lot of times when I speak, teenagers especially think, well, this will never happen to me. They're open to it. They love it. But I notice that when I'm looking out at the crowd, it's the parents that are far more moved. They've been so wounded from the lie of lust, or maybe they've never dealt with their abortion. So there's a lot of tears. So it's very rewarding.
Very good. All right. Yeah. Angela, what are you going to be sharing about then, about in that first segment on pro-life?
I'm going to be sharing part of my life story. Early years of lack of understanding, so to speak, of different things, and just being part of the culture and absorbing the culture and making bad decisions and eventually aborting my child. And then, of course, with the grace of God, finding forgiveness and healing in it. So I share that witness with them and a few other of my thoughts of my life.
Is this something that you've shared in other venues as well?
Yeah, with pro-life, and then also for more than probably about a decade and a half with teenagers, confirmation students and stuff like that.
Right. And as such, what kind of a reaction do you tend to see amongst the teenagers that you speak with?
Very moved, because when they actually hear someone's actual story of what happens in life, it's different than just, you know, maybe reading something or just people giving them information. You know, they actually see what really happens in someone's life and they have something to share with someone else later.
Right. Yeah. Stories stick with us. And although the statistics are important, I'd say, and that's one of the things I think is a great thing about what the two of you are doing, that you're putting them together. You have the statistics and the facts of, you know, here's what's happened. Here's what's real on the ground. And then here's the personal story that comes alongside and shows that as well. Okay.
Angela does a great job too, because she's so sensitive and very merciful, and you could hear a pin drop whenever she speaks. It's the number one comment we get, which we're so grateful for, is the teachers will say, this is the first time we had 100 students and they all actually listened.
Oh yeah.
They put their cell phones down. So she does a really nice job.
Angela, how tough was it for you in those early times of sharing about your own experience to actually be vulnerable like that in front of an audience?
It was pretty hard. You know, they usually say that people would rather die than get up and speak in front of people, let alone share, you know, very intimate
and,
you know, one of the worst parts of my life. But the Lord is so merciful and so wonderful that he gives us that ability to share so others can find healing and grace in it too.
Yeah, that's so important, so necessary. And I love that there's part of that. It ties right in with what you were saying too, Michelle, about offering women and men the opportunity to heal in a post-abortive state. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of men and women who feel like they can't come back to the church because of their abortion. So I think a lot of times religious ed directors will make the evening like mandatory, and so it's kind of a sneaky way to get them there, but then to realize like, wow, the church is merciful and
yeah.
there is help for me and I can seek forgiveness, and it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the focus of the first part of the mm-hmm. Again, the evening is March 30th. It's taking place at St. Michael and
yep.
St. Michael,
mm-hmm.
and it's titled, if I've got this right, Teen Chastity, a
yes.
talk just for girls. Now, obviously, there's a relationship, a link between
right.
chastity or being unchaste, perhaps,
right.
and being faced with the so-called choice or decision of aborting a baby or not. Take us into the second part of the retreat now, chastity.
Okay, so Angela and I have been speaking together for 14 years. I've been doing this for 19 years. And we normally do them separately. So I'll have a Wednesday night evening on chastity or another evening with Angela on pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to do them together because I've found that when we speak on chastity, when I talk about the difference between lust and love, they're far more open to it after hearing Angela speak because now they've heard someone who's been affected and wounded by lust.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so great for us to be able to do this together to put the link. And it just makes chastity look that much more beautiful.
Is this is the first time that you've
mm-hmm.
been doing
it? This is our second time doing it together back to back.
Okay,
yeah.
Excellent. All
mm-hmm.
right. So what is chastity? Just define it for us.
Yeah. So chastity is giving our Lord our all.
Hmm.
So I share this with the teens. When we die and we're standing before our Lord, we're going to want to be able to say, Lord, everything I did with my eyes, my mind, my heart, my ears, my mouth, my sexuality, I glorified my whole body for you, Lord. Here I am. Here's my everything.
Mm-hmm.
Abstinence is saying no to sex, which is great, but chastity is a virtue in taking it one step higher. So I talk about the difference between lust and love. So mm-hmm. the first half of my talk is lust, kind of the negatives,
mm-hmm.
the risks, what we're not told, we don't see when we, maybe if they see pornography or a TV show or a lust scene in a movie, they don't see the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see people getting burned or wounded by it. And so I spend the first half of the talk talking about lust, and then the second half is all the positives, the beauty of chastity and why you would want true, authentic love.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Angela, where do you factor in on some of this stuff?
Well, because of, like Michelle said, my past
mm-hmm.
and believing the culture, you know, and all of that, and following the culture, I fell into all of those traps. And I lived out the consequences from that, and some of it still is in my life today.
Right.
So I think it gives the teens a look at, you know, that whole picture of not just hearing about it, oh, yeah, 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 but what can really be a result of it.
I got to say, I mean, it resonates with something that I was just saying, or my wife and I were talking about this. We'd been watching a television program, which I won't talk about. But really, the culmination of this entire series was the protagonist, the male protagonist and the female protagonist they have intercourse. I mean, that was the culminating piece of it. And that was, and then the series was over. And I'm just like, wait a minute here. You know, that was it. It was about so much more than that leading up to that, but that was it. And you don't see the consequences, like you were
mm-hmm.
saying,
okay.
that comes after something like that. What do you think, Michelle, just a question for you. How pervasive is the draw of lust in our society today, especially when it comes to teen girls?
Well, it's definitely getting worse. I know porn for a long time, men were the ones that people thought really had an addiction, but now their studies are showing statistically how many more teen girls are watching pornography.
Mm.
So they definitely are being fed a lot of lies between internet, social media, porn, movies has definitely affected. Time magazine just had an article for girls on porn, and one teen girl wrote that she found when she was with her boyfriend having intercourse with him, that she felt like she was just acting out the whole thing.
Wow.
She realized, I didn't love him from the heart. This is only what I had seen in the videos.
Mm-hmm.
So the article is written very well that this really isn't true, authentic love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting them to see that this won't make you happy. You don't want to bring this into your marriage. You won't want to put your family through this. So I use a lot of stories. So I think just convincing them that this is what you want.
Right, right. And yeah. It is again, this good harmony of both the statistics about what's right. real, what's on the ground, what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
And then also showing some true to life stories, which mm-hmm. I think is a great combination of things. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Please go ahead.
There's a lot of parents too who tell me, I don't know what to say to my teen. Mm-hmm. It's awkward. Silence is the devil's advocate.
No, that's
so a good we need point. To be speaking to our kids no matter how awkward it might be. So I love for the parents to come just to open up the door to speak about it. But also the free materials, they'll be given two books from Jason Everett too. And I just encourage parents, read them to your kids. Then it's not awkward. The answers are right in front of you. It's coming from Jason, not yeah. from mom or dad.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great way to educate the parents and the teens without making it as awkward as it can be for some families.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. Angela, from your personal perspective and testimony, wrestling with some of these things that, I mean, let's face it, a lot of people wrestle with or have wrestled with at some point. Any encouragement that you would give specifically to young girls when it comes to, you know, starting to understand their sexuality and practicing chastity?
Well, part of the thing I usually mention during my talk is that to remember that you're a precious gift from God. Mm. And when you do start, if you discern that you're going to date, that person should treat you like a precious jewel that you are. And then you should do the same for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ties in with all the chastity and all of that, because you're going to find a more beautiful life when you yeah. do that.
And right. one time after Angela had shared that piece that she just shared, a teen girl came up to her and said her friend is in a very abusive relationship, and she realized she needs to get out of that and she deserves better.
Wow.
From her saying that little part, touched her so much that she realized my friend has to get out of this situation.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
All right. So the retreat is Teen Chastity, a talk mm-hmm. just for girls, taking place on March 30th, although it is, you're inviting mentors, teachers,
yes.
parents,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing along as well. That's the Church of St. Michael in mm-hmm. St. Michael. If people want to find out more, how do they?
It's on our parish website.
Okay.
So the flyer will be attached to our parish link.
Okay.
And RSVP is encouraged because we are having free materials, but not necessary. I also want to encourage teens to invite their friends. We did this 2 years ago, and there were a lot of teens who kind of were dragging their heels coming into the door, which is common.
Mm-hmm.
And after, they said, had I known it was this good, I would have brought my friends.
Okay.
Yeah, parents said the same thing. It just helped them. It wasn't so awkward for them to talk to their teen about it after.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, yeah. Blessings on you for all the work
Thank
that you,
you
do. Thank you for putting this on together. Again, I'm still intrigued and I want to know more, but not being a teen girl or a parent or mentoring anybody right now, I guess I'll just pray for you in this upcoming
retreat.
Thank you.
Retreat. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Michelle, right, Angela. Thanks. Thank you for being on
thank
the Rediscover
you.
Hour.
Thanks. God bless.
God bless. All right, so we're going to go into our next break. When we come back, Brandon Wanless from the Church of St. Agnes is going to tell us about the Lenten lecture series going on there, so stay with us.
Lead young people to understand that this relationship with Christ is first and foremost a commitment. He has made promises in Scripture to be with you always. The question is, are we going to reciprocate that commitment by showing up to prayer? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment by being faithful to the Eucharist? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment that God has made to us through regular reception of reconciliation when we fall, and trusting in God's love as a reality and not just an emotion? You know, most of them create their worldview based on what they feel. They need people involved in their lives who can mentor them and disciple them in that, because it is going to be probably the greatest challenge for them is to break out of the mold of the world, which says, if it feels right, do it. And they apply that same principle to the faith. And when it doesn't feel good, they don't do it. And that's just not what is going to help move them forward on a faith journey.
Relevant Radio, helping you guide your family with talk radio for Catholic life.
Say a prayer, say.
Back to to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer. Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, Brandon Wanless is the high school theology teacher at St. Agnes School. He is also a PhD candidate in theology at Ave Maria University, writing a dissertation on St. Thomas Aquinas, and also the founding member of the Sacra Doctrina Project. And boy, I could just go on and on. I've got a whole list here. But instead, I'll just say welcome to the program, Brandon.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and he's got a great voice as well. Yeah. All right. Very good. And so you are here today in all of the midst of everything that you're doing to talk to us a little bit about the Lenten lecture series that's going on at the Church of St. Agnes. But before we get there, let me just ask, how are things going at St. Agnes School?
Oh, it's great. The school's doing very well. Word of mouth is really spreading. Sharing the great gift that St. Agnes is, and just the miracle story of its recovery,
and it's
a really special place to be there and to be a part of that.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad you're there.
Thank you
for the work that you're doing. All right. So take us into. Now I have to admit that as I was a parishioner at the cathedral for a number of years before my wife and I decided to move to Wisconsin of all places, and I have partaken of past Lenten lecture series at the Church of St. Agnes. Beautiful combination because it starts, or you can partake in Stations of the Cross,
right,
in the main church upstairs, and then go downstairs for a little lecture series. And
that's
it's
right.
Been great. Mm-hmm. So, what is St. Agnes doing this year?
So this year, Father Moriarty and I had discussed earlier this past summer just what is a really good theme. There's always a theme.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we wanted to get a really good theme that was actually, very Lenten, to really kind of drive the Lenten formation that's opportunity for the Lenten lecture series. And so we thought of coming up with a list of six of the great spiritual doctors of the church.
Ooh, okay.
Six of the masters of the interior life. That are doctors in the sense that they have something to teach the universal church, to teach both priest, religious, laity, about what it is to have a really intense and thorough and rich interior spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with a list of six. Obviously we couldn't include everybody. we had to make some cuts.
You're hoping for a long, long Lent.
Yeah. We could have went on for a while, but
yeah.
So we have six. We just finished St. Augustine.
Yeah. Just kicked off. That's
mm-hmm,
right. Yeah.
That's okay. Right. And then St. Catherine of Siena next Friday,
mm-hmm.
Teresa of Avila after that, John of the Cross, Francis of Sales, and Therese of Lisieux is our final.
A lot of Carmelites in there. Paul's giving the
half
thumbs
of them
up
are
over
Carmelites.
Here.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
all right.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the Carmelites have something to offer.
They certainly do. Yeah. Yep, no question about that, especially when it comes to the Lenten life and living a disciplined
That's right,
life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right. Good.
So what was your thinking behind who you're going to include, and who made the cut and who didn't?
Well, it was something that it was just a matter of there wasn't like a clear parameter, but it was who has something that really is really lasting and maybe not as well understood or well known. So, for example, we didn't include Ignatius of Loyola, but that's not anything against Ignatius by any means.
Okay.
But I think his spirituality is maybe a little bit more better known or well known. Mm. And so we wanted to also include some of the female mystics. Because we just thought that was so important.
Just noting that, yeah.
To show how these women in particular reveal something to us about the Christian life that's applicable both for men and women, but there's something that these women offer that's really rich and deep and unique. And so, how do you not have Catherine and Teresa and Therese?
Sure.
And so that's kind of our thinking that went into it.
Okay.
And then we also were discerning a little bit about who we'd like to invite to the parish to give those talks and what they would be good for.
Yeah.
Who they could speak to.
Yeah.
And so we were also particularly in thinking about, interested in the lineup of speakers, and we're really excited about that as well. So
all right, share.
It's a double excitement. It's both the topics and the speakers. So we just had Dr. David Deevil from the University of St. Thomas Catholic Studies, who's always a fantastic speaker. Mm-hmm. And then this next Friday, Sister Mary Margaret O'Brien, who's one of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, who's teaching at St. Agnes.
Yeah, right.
And then back to back, we have Sister Teresa Christie, who is another Dominican from the same order. So the two of them. So
Dominican speaking on Carmelite.
That's right. So Sister Mary Margaret is talking about, so she's a Dominican talking about the great Dominican mystic Saint Catherine of Siena.
Yep.
And then Sister Teresa Christie, her religious name is from Teresa of Avila.
Right.
So she said she's just hugely devoted. I mean, she just knows the saint left and right. So she'll be speaking of on Teresa of Avila. And then Elizabeth Kelly, who's at the University of St. Thomas.
She works here on the Read.
Yeah, she's been great. And I know that she's been booked with a lot of the work that she's been doing on her Jesus Approaches series. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, she's coming to talk about John of the Cross. And then our own headmaster of the school, Dr. Ferdinand, Kevin Ferdinand, will be talking about Francis de Sales. And he has, from time to time, taught, you know, Francis de Sales in the classroom, especially the Introduction to Devout Life.
Mm-hmm.
And even this summer, actually, he's doing a summer series, which, you know, I can put a little plug in maybe, that, you know, that this Lenten lectures that he's providing is, you know, roughly an hour, but the summer he's going to unpack the spirituality of Francis de Sales over the course of four sessions.
Oh, so it's kind of
go a little bit deeper. And
that'll be in the summer.
In the summer, right.
Wow, okay.
So he really knows Francis well. And then finally, Father Robert Altier, who used to be at St. Agnes.
Yep.
He will be talking about St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Father Altier is a regular speaker in the Lenten Lecture Series, he's quite dynamic, very engaging. And Thérèse of Lisieux is obviously very popular as well. So we think that last session is going to be standing room only, probably. So
yeah, right.
It'll be great. We're really looking forward to that.
All right. So just for our sake of our listeners, A, when do these things take place?
Right.
And where? Of course, at St. Agnes. Mm-hmm. But when and how can they find out more information?
Sure. Great. So the Church of St. Agnes is in Frogtown, the Frogtown neighborhood of St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And every Friday during Lent, except for Good Friday, the Stations of the Cross happens in the main church called the Upper Church at 7 o'clock. And then right afterwards, just head downstairs to Schuller Hall in the basement. And in Schuller Hall, there are the lectures will be given roughly about an hour. There are some light refreshments served. It's free and open to the public. A free will offering will be accepted if anyone wants to help offset the costs of the speakers. And then if you would like some more information, we have some information on the parish website, so churchofstagnes.org, and saint is spelled out, so S-A-I-N-T. You could just go there, or you could call the parish at 651-925-8800.
Nice. Okay, so I got to admit that one of the things that attracts me just by you telling me the subject, the people who are the subject, the great saints who are the subject, as well as the presenters, is that you have at least a couple times there, you have someone, a woman speaking on a man and a man speaking
right.
on a woman.
Yeah.
Right, because this is, I mean, some people might hear the male names and just decide, a woman might say, well, I don't know how much that will impact me, or vice versa. A man might hear the women's saints' names and just say, yeah, I don't know how much. But you've got a good mix. And obviously this is something that is applicable and hopefully desirable to all.
Right.
And so it's not, as you said, this is certainly not just for St. Agnes parishioners.
Right. No, we really want this to be an archdiocesan event in which people are coming from all over. Which is kind of how the parish also works. It has parishioners from all over the region. And so we're looking forward to really providing an opportunity for, obviously there are fish fries and all sorts of other things, but this is, we're really excited about this because of the opportunity that it is for kind of advancement in the Lenten journey, mm-hmm. In a way that's, you know, there's the communal aspect, but it's a really an opportunity to learn and to grow and to get some, almost, you know, some practical ways and varied ways even of how grace can be operative in the life, in the interior life. The thing about the, you know, women speaking about men and men about women and et cetera is, yeah, like you said, it's a very universal for all people. And that's, you know, grace is like that, you know, God's action within our lives and our souls. There's a certain universal quality to it, and mm-hmm. also at the same time, a very personal quality to sure. it. And so there's something particular about each of these doctors, each of these saints. But at the same time, it's really also the same reality, the same God, the same Trinitarian life mm-hmm. that is operative and is, you know, bringing us into that same communion. Mm-hmm. So there's a unity there, but also the diversity at the same time. And yeah. so you can see how it's, you know, you're going to get something from everybody, but yeah. at the same time, it's not going to be the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, and you mentioned this, but I just want to highlight it as well, that it is a Lenten lecture series, and some people might hear that and they think, well, this is obviously just for the intellectual type.
But right.
given what you, the people that you've talked about, and especially with some of the mystics like Dominican Catherine of Siena, mm-hmm. St. Teresa of Avila, the Carmelite, and you have it seems like you're aiming not just at the intellect, although we are called to love God with our whole mind.
Right.
Also heart, soul, and strength as right. well. And it looks like you're trying to hit on all of those pieces.
Right. Exactly. We want it to be educational, but
right.
but more especially, we want it to be something, like I said, you know, you can walk away with a, you know, something practical about how to pray and what that looks like. And if it looks good, you know, if you're progressing and there's something really positive happening there, or even just how to face adversity. I mean, that's a big part of the spiritual life is,
right.
is some of the dryness and what that looks like. You think of St. John of the Cross and the Dark Night of the Senses, et cetera, that you can really kind of walk away with that. But at the same time, like I was saying, you know, as doctors of the church, these are teachers, the saints themselves,
right.
they teach us something. And the people that we've asked also know how to teach and communicate those mm-hmm. things. And I think of it as, you know, some of these saints, maybe you're familiar with Teresa of Avila or Francis of Sales, and you know, they were even your confirmation saint or something, and mm-hmm. you know when their feast day is, and you know a little bit about them, but maybe you've never read The Interior Castle, or mm-hmm. maybe you've never read, the Thérèse Lisieux autobiography or something. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity, I think, to kind of get just a little bit more, mm-hmm. And maybe even encourage you to pick up for the remainder of Lent, something from Teresa or Catherine,
exactly.
et cetera.
Because the saints aren't there to try to set some bar that we'll never achieve, but there are models, there are elder brothers and sisters
exactly.
encouraging us to holiness. All right, so just in our remaining minute here together, Brandon, you've already covered St. Augustine with Dr. Deevil.
Mm-hmm.
People have missed that one already, but can you give us the dates, the topics, and the speakers one more time?
Yes. So March 15th, Friday, St. Catherine of Siena, with Sister Mary Margaret O'Brien, OP. March 22nd, Friday, St. Teresa of Avila with Sister Teresa Christy Balick, OP. The following Friday, March 29th, is St. John of the Cross with Elizabeth Kelly. Friday, April 5th, is St. Francis of Sales with Dr. Kevin Ferdinand. And then the final lecture is Friday, April 12th, St. Thérèse Lisieux with Father Robert Altier.
Wonderful. Love it. And that's Friday evening's church or Stations of the Cross in the main church at 7, then going on downstairs for the lecture afterwards throughout Lent, except for Good Friday. More information at churchofsaintagnes.org. Brandon, it's been great having you on the Rediscover Hour. Thank you so much for joining us and good luck with all of this.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I are going to share with you a lot of other things going on this Lenten season and how you can grow closer to the Lord, so stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money.
If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Paul, I think the Lord is blessing us in Lent here with a great kickoff. That was a good show.
Lent is a joyful time.
It is. It is a season of joy.
I keep telling people, it's a time you get a chance to start over again. And I think that's great.
I think that is fantastic. Something we all need. Why don't you lead us off into how we might do that?
Well, let's just recap the 2019 Lenten Lecture Series at the Church of St. Agnes in St. Paul. The theme is the Great Spiritual Doctors of the Church. It takes place Fridays during Lent, March 8th through April 12th. It's in Schuller Hall, following the 7 p.m. Stations of the Cross in the Upper Church. The event is free and open to the public. Light for refreshments served free while offering will be accepted. Find out more. Call 651-925-8800.
All men, fathers, and sons are invited to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference on Saturday, March 23rd at St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. Theme this year, Arming Men of Integrity, with guest speaker Patrick Madrid, I've heard of him, from Relevant Radio. The conference runs from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. with doors opening at 8 a.m. and the Sacrament of Reconciliation will be available. More information, visit thecatholicwatchmen, that's plural, watchmen.com, or email Enzo Rendazzo at rendazzov@archspm.org.
The Church of St. Stephen in Anoka invites you to join them for an informative series called What to Do, a conversation on life and death issues. Four Tuesday evenings, March 12th through April 2nd. Speakers include experts in moral theology and medicine. Evenings begin at 6:45 p.m. Hospitality in the Faith Community Center with a presentation to follow at 7 p.m. To find out more, visit ststephen, and that's with a P-H, church.org. Let's go through that again.
That's probably a good idea.
STEPHENCHURCH, St. Stephen Church. org.
He is a professional, ladies and gentlemen.
Grandparents,
you are invited to St. John the Baptist in New Brighton on Tuesday, April 2nd from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for a talk on passing on the faith, what grandparents are doing right, and where do we go from here? Speakers include Andrew Blake, Director of Campus Ministry and Dean of Students at Totino Grace High School, and Kim Doyle, Grandparent Ministry Coordinator at the Church of St. Joseph in Rosemount. This event is free, and registration is recommended, but not required. Questions? Call Rita Spice at rspiess1@msn.com or call Carrie at 763-438-0487.
You've got 10 choices there.
I know.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. The Church of St. Pius X in White Bear Lake invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop, Saturday, April 6th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To register for the workshop, visit the events page at archspm.org.
That's it.
The new events page at archspm.
I know. I think you need to go to archspm.org and check it out.
Just go and take a look.
Right.
Take
it's
a tour.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. Whether you're looking for something, answer to a question or not. All right. Next time on the Rediscover Hour, we'll venture more deeply into Lent. Can you believe that? With the musical talents and reflections of local artist and faith formation coordinator Katie Ware. Also, Father Joseph Taphorn shares his hopes as the new rector and vice president of St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. And Enzo, our old friend Enzo, is going to be back with us. He's not that old, actually. He's going to be back with us to tell us the latest on the upcoming Archdiocesan Men's Conference. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover, folks. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.